burning behind down there. Good morning, everybody. How we doing? So good to have all of you here this morning. Make sure you're getting some iced coffee. What else we got in there? We got some hot coffee, I'm sure, or some hot chocolate, whatever you need to get to refresh yourself this morning. I'm actually pleasantly surprised it's not terribly hot in here today. So yay, because it's normally sweltering when it's this warm. But right now we're okay, or at least down there you are. Up here it's a little warm, but I'll make it through. So good to have all of you here. Today's a pretty awesome Sunday to be here because it is our Faith Summer Kickoff Sunday. So if you got a child, there are outs or going to be eventually outside having a great time with some sprinklers and some water features and just having a party out there. The party keeps going after, so don't think you're going to miss out, adults, if you want to be out there with them after the fact. We're going to take a little afternoon siesta and join them. If you like to run through the sprinkler once or twice or just watch them have fun, that's totally okay too. And there's going to be some ice pops and some snacks, some handheld goodies, some sweet treats to take part in. So make sure you don't miss out on that before you get out of here today. If you're here with us virtually, thank you for being with us. If it's your first or second time, we want to thank you so much for being here with us and joining us and making us a part of your Sunday morning. Make sure that you know that you are welcome here, and we love and appreciate you and want you to stick with us all the way through the end, and make sure you're sharing this with somebody who maybe you need to share this with today. Even if it's just a random person you just met, just share that with someone you know today. We'd appreciate that. A couple other things. If you do have kids, they're going to be having fun outside this morning. Also online, we have an online experience that coincides with the downstairs experience we have in person. So make sure you're engaging in that. If you're not here with us physically, you can do that by looking on our Facebook page, and there's a little link right below this post, and you can find it there and click on it. It'll take you to our online experience, so don't miss out on that, all right? A few other things I want to highlight going on here at Faith. There's so much happening each and every week, but especially in July, it is crazy busy. And so I said, why not? Let's add more to our plate this month. And so we're going to add Faith Work Days to what we have going on. So Saturday, July 2nd, which is coming up really quickly, and Saturday, July 16th, we have Faith Work Days. So if you can lift a paintbrush, you don't even have to be good at painting, but just lift a paintbrush, right? Or you can come in and move something around for us, or just be here and be an encourager. It really doesn't matter. There's not a lot of skill involved in this. We just need some people to come in and participate and jump in and help out. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to repaint our Faith Kids area downstairs is our first big project. And so we need plenty of willing hands to come in. We're going to start around 9 a.m. until we're finished. The more people that are here, the faster it goes. And so we'd love for you to be here Saturday, July 2nd. If you have that date available, make sure that you sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the cafe, so don't miss out on that. If you don't sign up, I'm going to come beg for you, all right? I'm going to contact you personally and say, please show up here and say, well, I've got plans on you know, the 4th of July weekend. Well, if you have an extra day off, then Saturday's another day you can come in. So either way, we encourage you to be here if you can. If not, Saturday, July 16th is the follow-up, so we encourage you to be there for that one too. So if you can do either one of those, we greatly, greatly appreciate it. And make sure you sign up either during the break or after the fact. And again, I'll beg and borrow and plead with you after if you don't sign up. So, know that's there. Also, Faith Free Community Cookout is coming Monday, July 11th at 6 p.m. So right out front here, we're going to do a free community cookout. It's going to be hamburgers. I don't know if it's going to be hot dogs too, but we're going to have a couple of options here. And the sides, it's going to be great. It's all free. We're going to have tables set up and maybe a couple of tents, weather permitting, and just have a great time. So I want you to be able to come out. You don't have to bring anything. You don't have to do anything other than just show up that day, Monday, July 11th at 6 p.m. here at the church. Make sure you invite somebody, right? This is what is everything we do. I want you to invite somebody too. So this is another opportunity to invite somebody to a free meal on a Monday afternoon. So make sure you don't miss out on that. Bring somebody with you. Also, we have Faith Kids Camp running the next day, Tuesday, July 12th through Thursday, July 14th. So that we scheduled it this year so that if you have kids in camp, maybe they're going to a summer camp during the week that they come back home to in the afternoon, and you're thinking, well, I've still got some stuff around the house to do, and it's you know, light until like 10 o'clock at night, it feels like. So what am I going to do with these kids for the next little while? So from 5 to 6:30, you got that opportunity to come join us. We're going to be behind the firehouse on Route 346 in church, so that's where they meet up there. And so make sure you're taking an opportunity to come and be with us there. That's Tuesday through Thursday. We'd love for you to join us. Also, the last Saturday in July, last Saturday in July is Celebrate Palmel Day, right? Super excited about this. It should be a huge, huge event. Normally, what would happen that Saturday is the town would have a town fair, right? In years past, before COVID, the Winchesters did an awesome job of putting together a town fair, and they had vendors and all this great setup. Well, we're scaling it back a little bit this year since this is the first year back, and we're rebranding it a little bit and calling it Celebrate Palmel Day instead. But the core part remains the same. We want you to show up to be able to have time together as a community. So we're having the town picnic is going to be there. There's going to be a big tent set up with tables and chairs, and there's going to be free food. There's also going to be a cornhole tournament going on. There's also going to be bounce houses and obstacle courses and a dunk tank, and there's so much more. DJ is going to be doing music there. There's going to be a whole lot of stuff going on. And so make sure that you're joining us Saturday, July 30th from 11 to 2, all right, 11 a.m. to 2, and it's floating, so hey, I can't be there from 11 to 2 the whole time. I'll just show up at 11 or show up at 1, whatever the case is, and again, invite somebody, and we want to bless you there as you join in with us and the whole community as we celebrate Palmel together. Same location, right behind the firehouse on 346 of Church, so it's really easy to find. Park there, just like you would at the regular town fair. Come and hang out, get in the bounce house, bring your kids. I have free food. It's going to be great, so don't miss out on that. Last thing we want to include you on and invite you into is if you're in need in our community, we want to be able to bless you, all right? So we just helped out, matter of fact, a family this past week with groceries. I want to thank you, church, for your generosity. They were looking real quick turnaround and said, man, we're just in need for the next week, and we're just reaching out and seeing if anyone can help. And I said, we want to help you. And so we gathered so many families in our church participated and jumped in and blessed this family with free groceries, and we had some kitty litter and some cat food too, and just blessing her in any way we could and her family. And so I thank you for doing that, church, because that's what we're here to do as Faith Church, is to be a blessing to this community through our generosity. And so one, thank you. Two, if you're in need, make sure you let us know, all right? That could be groceries, it could be an electric bill, it could be anything in your life that you really are in need for. Know that we are here to help you and to be able to bless you wherever you're at, all right? And for Faith, for us who are participating in this together, who are being generous together, know that this is what we're called to do, is to be generous, whether it be giving food or giving our finances or giving time to come and serve in a Faith work day or to be at the community cookout together, whatever it is. It's all about giving to and with each other. And so I want to thank you for all that you've done so far this year. It helps us to be able to reach families. It helps us to be able to do these community events. It helps us to do things like Celebrate Palmel Day, which is a big undertaking. And it takes all of you putting your time, energy, finances, everything, just giving back what God has already given you. It's such an awesome privilege to be able to do that with you. You guys are awesome, and I'm glad that I'm able to participate in that week after week with you guys. So thank you for giving. If you like to give today, there's physical giving. There's baskets up here and in the back, and then online, faithchurchvt.com. Press the give button. It's just that simple, and you can give right there where you're at, or you can give at your house if you're here watching online with us, and we thank you so much for what you do. All right. So let's get into what we are doing today for the message this morning. Over the past few weeks, we've been going through a series called How to Deal, all right? How to deal, dealing with things differently, right? So we all have come with different parts of our life we've been raised to deal with one way, but are learning how to deal with them differently. So we've covered how to deal with emotional pain. We've covered how to deal with conflict in relationships. We've covered how to deal with gossip. Last week, we talked about manhood and fatherhood and how that's different in, when you're coming at it from a biblical perspective. And this morning is going to be another very common life experience. It's going to be about loss, right? It's going to be about loss. Now, when I first thought of loss, my first thought was usually death, right? And I think that's where most of us go. If you're thinking about loss in your life, you're thinking all the people and things, the people rather, that you have lost in your life, maybe a family member, a friend, or even a pet, right? And that's definitely a big part of what we want to dive into today. But I also want to expand on that and go a little bigger here and think about other places we may have lost things, like financially, right? Maybe you've gone through a period of financial loss in your life, or maybe you had to declare bankruptcy, or maybe you're just a big drain on your family's budget. Or maybe you had a relationship that fizzled out, or maybe you had a career opportunity that came up that fell off by the wayside. All these things that we deal with, these lost things, goes well beyond death. And so how do we process loss, right? How do we deal with this? So I got a question for us to ask and answer one another before I get into the message this morning in depth and discover how to do that together. But I want us to ask and answer this one question of one another as we start to process loss this morning. What was one of, doesn't have to be the biggest, all right? I don't need you to prioritize losses in your life this morning, but just one of the biggest losses in your life, all right? So think about that. Ask and answer it again of each other. Get up, walk around, talk, and say, hey, what was your one biggest loss or one of the biggest losses in your life? And make sure you're asking and answering that one online as well. And we'll come back in 5 minutes and discuss what we found out this morning, all right? Let's do five. Let's go. All right, here we go. We might still be adjusting the camera. I forgot to give Jaden the heads up on this. So we normally move from me standing to sitting, and then if the camera doesn't get adjusted, you're looking at like at the top of my head. So hopefully we get this figured out. At any rate, let's talk about loss this morning, which is always a hard topic, I think, to get into, but an important one. So let's dive into this a little bit. Anybody want to share this morning one of, didn't have to be the, but one of the biggest losses that you may have experienced in your life? I know, nobody wants to share. It's going to be hard. What you got, Dave? Here comes Rich. He's ready. That's right.
So everybody can hear it.
Yeah, so everybody online can hear it.
One of the biggest losses that we experienced as a family was in 2012, 2013. We had to foreclose on a house because it had lost value about half.
Oh.
And we had to move out of the area because work was... dragging. Mm-hmm. And then we also lost a business in 2020 for COVID. So let's keep on restarting.
That's right. Two big losses. But I led you here. So hopefully it's a gain in the long run, right?
Well, obviously my parents was a big loss.
Sure.
But the 1986 World Series.
Thank you, Walt.
Enough said.
I hate to say this, Walt, but I was there at Game 6, and it was amazing.
Well, it's lost for one person might not be for the other. That's a good point. All right. Anybody else? One of the biggest losses. It doesn't have to be death necessarily. It could be any losses are all good. What you got?
No. It was the death of my hubby 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But I know where he is, so praise God for that. And I have comfort and... joy and peace because of having the Lord in my life.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Miss Jan. Anybody else? Loss in your life. One of the biggest. Didn't have to be the, but one of the biggest things.
My dog.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know.
Sure.
They're a part of the family. And,
absolutely.
You know, they're non-judgmental. And they're always there for you. They don't talk back.
That's right.
You know, so that was one of many.
There you go. Appreciate that, Rich. Anybody else want to chime in before we get? Here we go. Jim over here.
My siblings moving to, not being smart enough to move to Vermont. They're in California. They're in downstate. But
yeah.
Me and Kathy and myself were smart enough to make the right move. But we do miss our siblings.
Sure. Absolutely. Definitely. The loss of distance. That's right. That makes a big difference. All right. Thank you, Jim. Anybody else? Those are good. Thank y'all so much. Perfect. All right. I was thinking through this week, as I always have to do because this is my job, right? So I was thinking through this and some of the biggest losses of my life, and I think the ones that really hit me the most were the ones with the most missed potential, right? Because I've had a lot of loss, but I was thinking through some of these. The ones that really hit me was when I first got out of the Marine Corps, I had a job interview, right? So I was lining things up. I was a year married, and we had Jaden at that point, and he was only like a month or two old. And so I was scheduled to get out of the Marine Corps a month after his birth. And so we're trying to line things up job-wise because I had really good secure income for 4 years, and now it's like, what's going to happen? And so I had this interview lined up in Raleigh to be a paralegal in a downtown law firm, and I was like really excited about this opportunity. I never lived in a big town like that, and Raleigh's a pretty good size area, and I never worked downtown and all these fun, exciting things. And so I went and interviewed in person, and they even showed me where the desk was going to be, said, hey, let me show you where your office is. And I was like, man, this is a lock. I got this, right? And so I go back to about 2 hours away where we lived in New Bern, and I was anticipating that phone call of saying, yeah, here you go, you got the job. Well, I got the phone call, but it wasn't because I got the job. It was because I got passed over. And so I was really, it took me a long time after that to really process of like, whoa, now what, right? What's going on with my family? I got a 1-year-old marriage and then a month-year-old child sitting at home. And I'm like, how am I going to deal with this, right, without a job? And it took some adjustment. So that was a big loss because it was all those what could have beens, right, for that one. The another one I thought of was the death of my stepfather, right, because he had gotten really sick. And I lived in North Carolina, and they were in Georgia, which is about 8 hours away. But he worked for a nuclear power company, and they went frequently on what they call outages, which is basically heading over to other power plants and working to get plants up to speed, kind of just covering a bunch of stuff. And so he got sick while he was on outage and was at a hospital there in Alabama. And at the time, we were in North Carolina, so I wasn't just going to be able to pop down and check in on him and see him. And I really didn't think it was necessary anyway, because he was only in his 50s, right? And so I was thinking, all right, yeah, he's sick, and he's in the hospital, but he's going to get over it, right? So whatever mom called, I was like, it'll be all right. It'll be good. What I wasn't expecting was that phone call again that came not too long after that initial call to say, yeah, he's gone. And I'm like, wow, we just talked with him last week, right? And it was just a few days later that he's now not here, right? So much missed potential, 50 something. I don't remember the exact age he was, but now he was just gone. The last thing I thought about was a connection I had made not too long after we first moved here in Vermont. A local electrician and his stepson was here working on the parsonage, and so they were wrapping some things up in the electrical end, and we had just gotten here officially to town, and we were trying to move in, but we couldn't because they were finishing stuff up, and so I was over checking some things out and helping out where I could, and I really connected with his stepson, who was around our same age, and so made a good friend, and he was really talkative, and I liked to listen, and he had some life issues, and I'm here to help, and so it all worked out. It was a great symbiotic little relationship, and really spent a lot of time together. Matter of fact, he was one of the only people that got me out of bed super early in the morning. We went to turkey hunt together one time. That was my one and only time turkey hunting, but it was a good friendship in the small amount of time that we had developed it. And so the news was shocking that whenever I got a phone call one day that this 35-year-old man had suddenly died of a heart attack, like overnight, one night, just bam, done, gone. 35 years old, a girlfriend that he had, a young child, and now they're just left without a father. And I was just blown away. I was like, man, what in the world, 35, right? I mean, you could see maybe 50, 40 even, but 35 is just so quick. And so I was thinking about all these. Think about all these losses, right? And there's so many more big losses, but I was thinking of the ones to me that made the biggest impact are the ones where they're gone too soon, right? Or the ones that could have all these what-ifs attached to them or what could have been, right? That sense of loss, whether it's death or job or even a divorce or separation, there's this constant reminder, I think, that there, as good as this life can be at times, something's not quite right, right? There's something just off about this world that we live in. And I think we long for something better. We long to not have those losses in our lives, but we're not quite sure what the answers are to those questions about why or why not those things happen. How do we deal with it? How don't deal with it? And so we're left floundering a little bit whenever loss hits us. We're left with all these questions, but no solid answers. And so I was thinking about when all these losses hit, how do we normally deal, right? How are we raised to deal? How do our parents deal? We talked about manhood last week and how we're passed down things. So how do we told or shown or modeled how to deal with loss? And I think one of the ways we do it is that we try to process it alone, right? You ever been there? Maybe it's just, again, a divorce or separation or financial hit that maybe you're not, you know, you don't have a partner in your life. And so you're trying to process this. The easiest thing to do is to isolate, if not physically, emotionally, right? To kind of get to a space by yourself and try to process this on your own. Medical research has provided stats that say that heart attacks go up 250% following the death of a spouse, right? Because what's happened? You're left alone. Who you had, it was really connected to you. Now they're gone. Now you're having not only sort through their loss, but you're left by yourself to process it, right? And so I think it's really easy when we lose something or someone close to us, even if it's not death, maybe separation or divorce, it's easy to retreat into ourselves. But ultimately, as stats show, that leads to more harm than it does good. Maybe you don't process that way. Maybe you're saying, I'm fine, I can deal with it, I'll work through with others. But maybe you fall into the trap that you've been sold that time will heal the pain, right? You heard the expression, I'm sure, it's so common, everybody's had to have heard it, that time will do what? Heal all wounds, right? Time is going to heal all wounds. That's an easy quote to give, but it's really less than helpful because broken hearts are like flat tires. And time isn't going to put air back in a tire and put a patch on it and let it get back on the road. Time can't do that. And time can't heal a broken heart either. It can't. And so if you believe time is going to fix it and you say, well, just I'm going to give it time. I'm going to let it time sort itself out. You're not going to take the necessary steps it's going to take to actually heal. So maybe you process that way. So maybe if you don't isolate, maybe you're processing with time. Time is going to just take time to get through this. Maybe another way you deal is you try to replace it. You try to replace the loss in your life, right? Maybe you lose a family pet. We just talked about that, Rich, right? Which can be like losing a family member if they're with you long enough. And so how do you deal with that? Well, you know, getting another one's not quite the same thing, but there's still part of you that says, man, I saw it in the pet store and I just really want this dog or cat or whatever it is. And so you replace the one you lost, right? I try to adopt another one away. Now, this goes beyond pets, right? This can go into career changes, even with people. We're never going to say that we're trying to replace somebody we've lost. Maybe you've had a spouse or something. But parts of us hope that by finding somebody new, it'll fill that hole that the person that we lost left, right? So maybe we try to replace when we're dealing. If it's not replacement, maybe we're told we need to stay busy and strong for others. You ever heard that, right? You ever been after at a funeral or maybe after the fact and someone says, you just got to stay strong, right? You got to be strong, maybe for our kids or some other family members who are really having a hard time. But you got to be strong for those people in your life. Or maybe you just got to stay busy, right? Just keep doing things. Keep doing things. Stay busy. That'll help you, right? So maybe you've heard that. And those sound logical on the surface, right? We should be able to toughen up, that there's others in worse situations than us. Maybe we just got to get over this. And we got to stay busy maybe to keep it going. Maybe if I sit still too long, I'm going to really start thinking about who I've lost, and I don't want to deal with that. So I'm just going to keep busy. I'm going to toughen up, right? And so we process like that. We deal with it like that. But the problem with dealing with loss in these ways is it fails to allow us to process loss in a healthy way, right? We find ourselves repressing things or suppressing memories or pushing aside the pain or pushing it down so we can get on with life, but never really sorting through how the situation is affecting us. Dealing with it in this way, or rather not dealing with it, can lead to a lot of different things, right? Can lead to irritability. Do you ever wonder, man, why am I so angry? Or why do I burst out and get so mad at people in situations that aren't that big of a deal? Maybe because you haven't processed the loss correctly, right? Maybe you're obsessing over it, right? It can lead to that of like, man, what happened? What could have happened? What didn't happen? And all these things going on in your head. It can breed anxiety in other areas of your life. Are you thinking, why am I so upset, you know, just driven by this anxious feeling in this part of my life? Well, it's because you haven't dealt with it over here, right? Maybe it can even lead to self-harming behaviors like overworking or overeating or even substance abuse, maybe even depression. If you don't deal with loss, it deals with you and not in a good way. So how do we change things? What's the alternative? Well, how do we deal differently? The whole point of this series isn't for me to talk about all the bad things, how that goes when you're trying to deal with loss. How do we actually deal with it effectively in a way that's going to heal us, in a way that's going to get us to move forward in life? So we're going to look at a few different passages today, but mainly we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, I want to encourage you, you can open it up. We want you to follow along. It'll be up on the screen as well or on your screen at home if you're watching with us. As you're turning there, I'll give you just a sec. So 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, as we look, how do we deal with loss differently? Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers or sisters, about those who are asleep, meaning dead, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. That you may not grieve as others who do not have hope, right? So Paul is writing this to a church, a bunch of believers in the area of modern Greece called Thessalonica, just so you have a little background. This is a group of Jesus followers, and what had happened was they've been told about Christ and about his resurrection from the dead and all these things, but now they're starting to lose family members. They're starting to pass away, and they're starting to think, well, what's going to happen now? So they're left wrestling with doubt. How do we move forward past this? How do we deal with it, right? So Paul writes to them to tell exactly how to deal. The first thing he says to do here is to grieve, It is a good and it is a right thing to grieve. We are to grieve unapologetically, right? We are to grieve. Loss is tragic. Death is sorrowful. So it is good to grieve. And this text gives us permission to do that. Whenever I'm looking at the Bible, and I encourage you to do this as well, whenever you're looking, you're reading, and I encourage you to, if you don't, start doing it, it's important to ask, what does the text say? But it's also important to ask, what does it not say? Because Paul could have said something like, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve. That's not what he said, right? You could have ended it there and said, don't grieve. Why are you grieving? Why are you wasting time grieving? He doesn't say that. He says, grieve. Grieve. Too often, I think we think we're doing a good thing by downplaying the pain, right? After death, we say things to people like, they're in a better place, right? Or after separation or divorce, we think maybe, I was so unhappy with them, right? Right? We attempt to intellectualize and just justify the pain away, but that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Paul says that when loss hits you, you have to grieve what's been lost. You have to embrace it. You have to embrace it. Jesus, while traveling in his ministry, learned of a friend, Lazarus, who had died. And this is a great example of learning the importance of grieving, because he makes his way back to where the friends and family are after the death, and he's confronted here. And I'm going to put it up on the screen. Just listen here. He said, now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. Verse 35 says, Jesus wept, right? So the Jews said, see how he loved him. You see, loss is unavoidable, but grief is a choice that we have to make. It's a tool, really, that we should use to kind of transition us through life. So much of our emotional trauma in our life can be tied back to lack of good grief. So how do we grieve when loss strikes? How do we do this well? I want to give you four steps, but I want to give you four an understanding that this is not a linear process, okay? I don't want you to tell me when I come after and saying, oh, I've done all these things and I don't know what's going on. This isn't a step process that you're going to climb a ladder and get to the top and everything's good, all right? Grief is cyclical, not lineal, all right? It's going to be a process that we all have to work through on our own time. And so when I give these four out, don't be thinking, well, I can't do that because it just, I've done it, it doesn't work, whatever. Just listen, and we're going to talk about how to process things differently, right? So first you have to do when you're grieving well is you have to accept the reality of the loss, right? Accept the reality. If the loss is a death, it's important to maybe even revisit the gravesite, right? If it's been a while, or attend the funeral. If you're ever doubting, like, man, should I go? Make it happen. Go, right? Or go to the places where the ashes were spread. If it's a separation or divorce, hey, go back to the place where you had memories together. Drive past the house, right? You think, well, I don't want to go back and dredge up those painful things. Well, you need to. You need to. And so if you've separated, go back. If you've been forced into a career change or had to leave or got fired at work, right, and you're having to process that, go and drive back by that place. Do something that's going to bring to your mind the situation, because the intent here is to get closure, right? You've got to find a place where you can shut it down and say, it's over. I got to move on. I got to accept that it's happened. To be able to move on from what was to go to what now is in your life. It's too easy to be held back by the what ifs and the what could have beens. So much so that we can't live in the moment, right? You ever get trapped in your past? You ever keep going back to, well, what if, man, what could have been? Well, what if we did this differently? Well, what if we didn't spend that money there? Or what if I didn't say that thing to that person? Or what if they didn't go to that place and get infected? Or whatever the case is, you go over all these things that were trapped in the past. And what Paul and what Jesus is calling to is to look forward to a new future, but we're stuck. So we had to accept. At some point, you can't find answers to questions. Or sometimes those don't exist. So you have to stop and lay it down. Accept the loss. Second, you have to experience the pain. All right? This kind of ties back to what we're talking about, because we live in a pain-avoiding society, don't we? Man, I was thinking about this week. I mean, the majority of the things that we buy, right? We swapped a few years back. This is years ago, but this shows the mindset. That years ago, we had pews in this church, right? And they were hard, and they were cold in the winter, and they were hot in the summer. It was just not a nice experience. And so I said, man, I really want people who come in here for the first time to sit in nice, comfortable chairs, right? Because I want to alleviate pain, right? And I think all of our, or most of our choices in our life are revolving around, how do I make myself more comfortable, right? How do I avoid pain? Social media and streaming services are not just entertainment. They're pain blockers. They're pain blockers, right? But when dealing with loss, you can't or shouldn't avoid it. You shouldn't avoid the pain. You have to go through it. You have to admit to ourselves that we're still hurting, and then that is okay, all right? We have to move past the false paradigm that says happiness equals success and sadness equals failure. Is this a lie? All right? That's a lie. And over time, what we also have to come to grips with is that if we're not experiencing the same level of pain, it doesn't mean the one that we've lost we love less. All right? That's the other thing that we get trapped up into and thinking that, man, but I can't, if I feel myself getting over it, if I feel like where I'm not hurting as much as I did when that first loss happened, then maybe I don't love that person the way I used to. You can't let yourself get trapped into that. It just means you're healing. And that's a good thing, okay? Accept the loss, experience the pain. Third, you have to adjust to a new normal. Now, I hate using this phrase because I think it's been so overused with COVID. It's really frustrating with me whenever you hear somebody say, oh, we got to just adjust to a new normal, whatever that means, right? What was normal before? Anyway, so adjusting to a new normal. But this is true in this case, I think, because what happens is you have to be able to adjust things in your life. If your loss was a separation or a divorce or the death of somebody you live with, that means taking on new roles, right? And allowing others in your life maybe to step in and fill them. Maybe you didn't drive everywhere. Now you got to start doing that, right? Maybe they always cooked and cleaned or did the laundry. Now you've got to do those things, right? You have to be able to start working in new roles and responsibilities. Maybe it's a new job and you get there and you're thinking, I never had to do this stuff before. And maybe if you came from one position that was higher and you had to take a demotion, right? You're thinking, oh man, I don't want to do all this menial stuff. But now you got to do it. You got to do it. You have to move into this new situation in your life. It's okay, I think, to reminisce over how things once were. But what happens is, again, we get trapped in those situations, and sometimes we get paralyzed by this indecision, by this fear, and allow grief to settle into self-pity. We say, oh, man, you just sit in the pain. Maybe you experience it, and you're saying, well, I can't get over it, and I can't do those things. I can't learn how to drive. I can't go get my license. I can't, you know, take that new job on because I just don't want to do that. I just can't move past this. And we just allow self-pity to rise up in us and trap us. But we have to adapt and accept and move forward into a new normal. The fourth thing we had to do is we had to take all that emotional energy that we had when we had it wrapped up in that person, and we have to reinvest it into something or someone new. All right? The goal isn't to forget who or what you've lost. Let me clarify that. But it's to move on with life without experiencing just debilitating grief. That's what we're here to do. Now, that can be tough. Because you say, well, if I invest in someone else, right, if I get connected to other people, then that just means I'm opening myself up for potential future loss. And yes, that is absolutely the case. You absolutely are. But what I believe you're doing by connecting with others, reinvesting that emotional energy into someone else, is really you're going to gain something far better than what you had the potential to lose. Making new friends, connecting with old ones, maybe even getting involved with others here on mission, here at Faith, right, is critical. One, it provides structure, but it also gives you a group of people who are going to care about you, not for what you can do, but just for who you are. That's huge. That's huge. Four steps dealing with grief, right? You need to accept the loss. You need to experience the pain, adjust to a new normal. Then you got to take that energy and reinvest it into others in your life, all right? Now, those four are essential. Very important steps. I want to take us to make sure you embrace grief and move through that loss in your life by doing grief differently. But Paul gives us something else that is just as essential as embracing grief, and it's the back half of 1 Thessalonians 4:13. So I'm going to throw it back up here, and he says this: we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no, key word at the end, hope. Hope. Here's what we tie back to from the very beginning. I said we have a hard time dealing with loss, whether it's career, broken relationships, separation, divorce, whatever it is. We have a hard time dealing with loss because we don't have certainty. It robs us of that certainty, of that trust in our lives, right? And so we don't have the solid answers to those hard questions, and we're left with this feeling of doubt and insecurity that builds up in us. How do we live that way? You don't. You don't. Paul says, I don't want you to grieve as someone who doesn't have hope, because you have something that's far better than any false hope this world can ever give. You see, we can experience grief and despair, without despair, rather. You can have grief, but not despair. You can have sorrow, but you don't have to be defeated. You can have sadness, but you don't have to have hopelessness. You can have true sorrow, and you can have true hope. They don't work against each other. They work with each other. They don't cancel each other out. You can feel that great weight of sorrow, but also a thrill of hope in the midst of that. In moments of deep sadness, we can feel both. Now, why? How is it that we can have that hope? See, the reason we can have it is because the grief that we go through, we believe, is temporary. It's a very temporary thing. It's not just time. It's all the time. Oh, we'll get better in time. No, grief is temporary. We can grieve genuinely, but hopefully, because it is temporary. The grief is going to come to an end. And Paul works this out for us by going to the next verse in verse 14. He says this. He says, for since we believe, remember these are believers who are dealing with this, so I want to look at it from their perspective. We believe that Jesus died, we lost him, but yet he rose again. Even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. See, what Paul does here is he anchors future hope in past reality. All right? We of all people, he says in other places, have no reason to not hope. We have this hope inside of us because we are pointing back, and he's pointing back to an historical event, a reality that happened in time, not just some spiritual thing where some God did something for somebody we can't really solve it or figure it out or really think through it, but a physical person came, lived, died, and rose again as a promise, a proof, a down payment that we too can return and will be returned to life. That's what the whole thing is about, right? What will happen? What happened to him will happen to us. If it wasn't for Jesus, we'd have no hope, but he did rise from the grave, and so we do have that hope. Now, he points back, and he also points forward. He says, through Jesus, the one who died and rose again, God will bring with them those who have fallen asleep. So in other words, he goes from the past. He says, Jesus died and rose again, and yet when he comes back, those who have died will rise again, right? He just ties them back together. He points forward to the time when Jesus will return and set all these things right, right? I said earlier, I said death and loss and all these things that we deal with is a symbol that we recognize that something's broken, right? And so what Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and his return do is say that, yes, things are broken, but we have a God that's going to fix them. He's going to come back and he's going to repair all things, right? And this great promise is going to be fulfilled where those who have died and those who are alive are going to be reunited. And it's not just a hope. It's like, oh, I hope that happens. That sounds really good. That's a past experience, a past reality that happened in time that will happen again, that they will be united together in Christ and live together forever. He continues verse 15 through 18. I want to, or verse 17 here. He says, for this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, we who are left until the coming will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will always be in the Lord. See, our hope for the future is that we will be there, right? We talk about it every time we come together here on a Sunday morning when we get together with the people who are serving on a Sunday and we come together. I said, God lives in us. What our call is to allow that to breathe out of us and to be in this space so that when people come in, they feel and experience the power and love and grace and mercy of God together through us. And so what we're saying here is that we have that hope that we're going to be there with him forever. Right? Those who have gone on and those who will remain are going to be reunited in the presence of Jesus because he's conquered death. And so they will too. Because Jesus lives, they're going to live. And so we grieve, yes, because we've lost. But we have pain, we have pain that is real, we have sorrow that is real, yes, grief that is real, but we grieve hopefully because we grieve temporarily. All right, so what about other things? You say that's about death, right? So we're talking about more than death. What about more than death? Pastor, because I don't have a death in my life, but I got a career change or I got a separation that I'm working through. I got a financial loss. How do I deal with that, right? Well, it goes back to those same promises, right? All ties back to Jesus, but the same promises that God gives us. We're not left without hope in those situations. So, Jaden, keep up with me. I got three quick verses to hand to you. Romans 8:28, Paul says this to another church, a group of believers. He says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. All right? So if you're thinking, man, I don't know why I had to go through what I went through. I don't know why I had to lose what I lost. Well, God's got a plan and a purpose for you. All right? Now, you may not have been following God when that loss happened. So now it's an opportunity to say, well, maybe I got off track a little bit, but I know there's a God who can redeem those things. The beautiful thing about what God does is he takes broken things, even things we intentionally break, right? Even things we have broken on purpose in our lives and said, I don't want this. I'm just going to break it. I'm done with it. And he can take that part of our lives and he can redeem it and restore it into something even more beautiful than it was before. He works things out for good. We're following after him. The next one, Psalms 147, 2 and 3, says the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel, right? We get this image. He's a builder. He's a gatherer, right? Verse 3 says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Follow that up with Psalm 34, 18. He says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. You're dealing with a financial loss in your life. You're dealing with a foreclosure, a bankruptcy. You're dealing with a divorce or separation, or maybe you just broke up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. How do I deal with this? How do I move forward? God is near to those who are brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. See, faith doesn't remove the pain of loss, all right? But it gives us a certain hope that the pain will be temporary because the God who makes these promises already came through in Jesus and will do so again. And so Paul wraps up 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 with this last verse. He says, therefore, what are you going to do with all this information? Encourage one another with these words. Not encourage one another to say, oh man, if you lost somebody, they moved on to a better place. The angel got their wings, whatever. Don't try to do that. No, grieve and then grieve with hope and saying that Jesus died and rose again. So those who believe and accept and follow after him will rise again too. So your grief is real, but it doesn't have to be permanent, right? Encourage one another with these words. And that's the important thing to do because I think that's the appropriate last step to deal with loss differently is to deal with it together. To deal with it together. Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, right? In writing on grieving, author Nicholas Woltersoff wrote, what I need to hear from you is that you recognize how painful it is. What I need is for you to hear that I'm in desperation. To comfort me, you have to come close. You have to come close. You see, we don't only avoid our own pain, we don't know how to deal with the pain of others. We don't. It's hard when someone has lost someone or something and has gone through this separation or lost a job, whatever. What do you say? What do you say in that moment? What do? Right? How do you process that? How do you give them answers? I tell you, most of the time, the answer is you don't. At least not at first. Not at first. Mainly, what we need to do, is to just be present, to listen, to hold a space for them to grieve, to encourage them to grieve instead of placating and say, oh, it's just going to be okay, or be strong, or time will fix it. No, forget all that. Allow them to just to pour it out on you and just to be that person that can wash over you like wave after wave and say, I'm going to sit here for as long as you need me to sit here. It could be one day. It could be 10 days. It could be 10 weeks. It could be 10 months. It could be whatever the case is, but I'm not leaving you because you're in pain. I'm going to sit with you and suffer with you. And suffer with you. Now, if you're a Jesus follower, there's going to be a space. There's going to be a time, right, that if you're with someone who's grieving over a loss that they themselves are maybe a Jesus follower, right, you're within a church setting maybe or even outside our church, you know somebody who's a believer, and now you have an opportunity to do something about it. You can't just sit in grief. That's good. But you get to a point where you need to do this. You need to do what Paul just did to the church in Thessalonica. You need to retell the gospel. That's what he was telling them to do here. Encourage one another by the truth that Jesus lived, died, and rose again and promised that all who confess with their mouth and believe in their heart will be saved by him. That's it. They'll be saved from sin and death in this life. They'll be given eternal life in the next. Now, this isn't some quaint phrase that we throw out there. This is the very foundation of our whole existence, the basis for our hope in all situations, and something we have to be reminded of, especially in times of pain and loss. So if you're thinking, well, they already know that, tell it again. Trust me, you can't tell the gospel enough times. I don't care how many times you heard it. Something stirs in your heart because God is working in that moment. And he's saying, this is the one eternal truth that things that are broken will be repaired because I have sent my son who has lived the perfect life, that has died that death in your place, that will make all things new in the end. And in the meantime, he's going to come to you and work through the grief with you. And he's given each other to help process that together. Retell the gospel to one another. Now, maybe you're sitting with an unbeliever. Maybe you're sitting with someone who they don't know where they are with Jesus. They've kind of, they're just not ready or sure or what's going on. And so what do you do then? One, I think, again, you hold the space and you say, hey, I'm going to just let you grieve. Pour it out, right? Curse me. Do all things you have to do, but I'm not going to allow you to fall into self-abuse. I'm not going to allow you to fall into self-harm or do these things that aren't going to help you process or process wrong. I want to work and sit here with you through this space. And then as they see you stick with them, now you're going to give them an opportunity to ask a question of like, well, how? How can you be here? Man, I've pushed you away so many times. Every time you come close, I say, no, I don't need your help. Every time you come close, I say, no, I got this. I've got it figured out, or I will. Just don't worry about it. I'm strong. I'll be strong. I'll get it all figured out. Every time I push you away, yet you're still there. Every time I come back and say, man, now I'm broken again, and I messed up, and I don't know what's going on, you're still the only one there. Why are you the only one there? Why are you the only one who hasn't turned their back on me? Why are you the only one that tells me the truth in love that says, hey, you got to deal with this and not just hide it? Right? Why are you the only one that says, don't go back to the bottle, right? Don't go back to the pill, the medicine cabinet. Don't go back to that person who's trapped you in this abusive situation. Don't go back to those things to solve your pain because they're not going to fix it. How can you be that person to tell me that? Now you get an opportunity to tell the gospel. Now you get an opportunity to say, I have a hope that is unbreakable, that will not be changed no matter what happens. And is only in Christ Jesus. And so I think it's appropriate that that's where we stop right here. Because our whole mission here at Faith is to see individuals and families transformed from the inside out by the power of the good news of Jesus Christ. I have nothing else to give you. I don't have anything to give you anyway. I'm just passing on what I've already received, right? I'm just like a beggar passing on bread that I've been given for free. This is what I'm doing here. That's all I got. That's all you need. So if you're here and you're dealing with loss and you're seeking things, you're trying to find answers, how do I deal differently? How do I process differently? I hope these steps have helped, and I encourage you to go back and review them later. But the ultimate hope, what it has to start with before you can even process grief effectively, is having a hope, and that hope is only in Christ Jesus. Nothing else. Look, I've looked. I've tried other things. I've seen other religious systems. I've seen other spiritual practices. I've seen all these things that promise freedom, that promise all these things. And from my perspective, and that's all I can give you, that the only real truth there is, the only real hope there is in Jesus Christ. That's it. And in Him alone. Don't add to it. You don't need to. And so if you're here this morning and you're processing or trying to process, it starts with Him. And so I want to give you an opportunity to receive that gospel, that good news that says you, even you today, are being saved. That right now, before you even have made a decision, that God is working in your heart and He's saying, it's time to come home. Yeah, you've lost stuff. Yeah, you've had financial breakdowns. Yes, you've had divorces. You've had separations. Yes, you've had all these bad things in your life. Maybe you've completely rejected God even and said, I don't need that. And yet He's saying, I'm still here. It's time to come home. And you do that by confessing and saying, I need Jesus. The only one who lived perfect life, died the death for me, washed me clean, brought me home is Him. This is the only hope I have and the only hope I need. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a sec. For believers, though, I want to do a couple things. First, I want to give you the opportunity to grieve, because I think too often, even as believers, we fall into this trap of like, oh man, that was so bad, whatever happened. Would it be a loss of a spouse or a friend or a family member, or be a loss of a job, and we don't say, oh, it'll be better, but we try to placate things differently, say, well, why, but I got Jesus, and we move past the grief too fast, right? We've talked about a men's group, and I'm gonna name names, right? We talked about a men's group, and a couple of the guys say that, well, my wife really has a problem because I just move past, I just kind of glaze over it. No, it'll be okay, right? It'll just be all right. I want to allow you to allow yourself to grieve. Because yes, it will be okay. And yes, it is important to say, I have a hope in Christ Jesus that goes beyond any pain and suffering that this world can give. But it is also just as important to say, I'm hurting. I'm scared. I feel lost at times. Don't move past it and say, but I got Jesus. Yes, you do. And yes, he's there. And yes, he wept at the grave of Lazarus. And yes, he's weeping with you. Don't run past the weeping. Don't run past the grief. You can be there, and that's okay. So allow yourself time to grieve. The other thing is don't be ashamed of it, but also connect with others here who are going to walk through it with you. And then I want you to, the second thing, rather, is to be that person for somebody grieving. I said we avoid the pain and avoid the pain of others. But here at Faith, what I want to call you to do is to sit and hold a space open for somebody who's hurting. Look for an opportunity even, right? Listen and look at people's lives around you when they're going through things and just have your ears peaked up and say, man, they're hurting. And instead of saying, well, they're hurting, so maybe I just won't talk with them a couple of weeks and hopefully they get it sorted out, right? And then when they get it sorted out, then we can talk and be friends and be happy again, because that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's not it. Weep with those who weep. So I want you to be that person, right? Maybe your life is going a little bit better. Maybe you're not going through a period of loss. So be there for someone who's grieving. Don't find a polite way to escape the pain. Be willing to sit in it with them for as long as it takes together. Let's pray this morning. For those who are seeking today, those who are sitting and thinking, man, I don't know where I'm at with Jesus, but today I need hope. I need the only hope truly exists. And I don't only hear the words, I feel them deep down. I fully believe church said what we do here is more than just talk and listen. It's more than anything we can imagine. It's the physical is just a reflection of the spiritual. And so as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit's already speaking in you and saying, yeah, you're grieved. Maybe you need to grieve more. But you don't need to grieve without hope. You need to grieve with the hope of Christ. And so if that's you this morning, how you respond to that is by praying, by calling back out to that voice that's calling in you. And it's simply by saying words like these. It had to be these words. It's not magic. It's just words. It's a heart's cry, heart's call to this, and say something to the effect of, dear Jesus, Lord, I'm sorry first. I'm sorry that I've broken some stuff. I've thrown the plate. I've left the job. I've walked past that family member and tried to ignore all the things I've done and just move past it, but I can't. Lord, today I'm asking, one, for you to forgive me. And then two, God, to help me experience your love. Lord, you promised not only to wash things clean in my life, to make it new, but God, to give me life, to love me in a new way. God, I need that. Lord, help me to experience that in a fresh way today. God, to live for you as one with hope and hope only in you. If that's you this morning and you said that prayer, I want to encourage you, if you're here in person, come and find me after, right? If you're online, make sure you let us know. PM us on Facebook. Get us with us up on YouTube. Don't miss out on that opportunity. Connect in some way, all right? Do that. Don't rush past it. For believers and everyone else, let's pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you do not leave us without hope. That, God, we can come here together and we can start at the foundation of our life, which is the foundation of our faith, that in you, Jesus, that God, in your life, death, and resurrection, that we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to be fearful, we don't have to be sad forever because of what you've already done, because of who you are, God, of what you accomplished in the past on the cross and in the tomb, God. We just praise you for that. God, we thank you, Lord. I pray that if we're here and we're not moved in the Spirit, Lord, by remembering back to what you've done for us, God, each as individuals and as a church, God, and as a whole people who you're calling to yourself, God, Lord, I pray, God, that you move in us to experience that fresh and new this morning. That it's not just a quaint turn of phrase to say, oh, yeah, he lived, died, and rose again. That's great. Let me move on. We'll get some lunch this afternoon. But God, we are so moved by you that that is the one thing we can't move past. That's the one thing we come back to. That's the one thing that satisfies us deep within our soul more than anything else, that we can't wait to hear it again and again and again, Lord. And I pray, God, that we can't wait to tell it. I pray, God, Lord, that in our moments of grief that we tell it to ourselves, God, that we find somebody that will tell it to us. Lord, I pray, God, as a church, that we find people who are hurting, who are going through loss, divorce, separation, jobs, death, whatever it is, we find and we sit in that space with them, say, I'm not leaving here. And then when they ask us why, we tell them it's because I know of a God who died for me, who loves me, who has given me the ultimate hope, who will change all things, who gives us eternal life, who makes the only difference that can really be made in our lives. And God, I'm here to share it with you. God, let us be those people. Let us not avoid the pain of ourselves and others, but step into it with a certain hope and grieve, but grieve temporarily because of that hope we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you so much for those of you online with us. Thank you for being with us this morning, for sticking with us all the way through the end. I hope you did. Make sure you're sharing this with somebody in your life this today. Where you subscribe to the YouTube channel, share the Facebook post, do whatever you can to spread this as far and wide. Bless somebody today with that. If you can't do anything else, that's one thing you can do. So thank you for being with us, and we can't wait to see you next Sunday, 10 a.m. God bless.